Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But you can stay up to date with everything happening here on the station by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is search for 92.9 FM ESPN. Subscribe, which it's free to do so, and you'll be up to date with everything happening here on the station. You can also listen on demand anytime, anywhere. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, as he is each and every Wednesday, of course, the master of fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. He is also, you can sign up for his newsletter, CerritoEntertainment.com. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Yep.
Host of Writer Than Right Trivia.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, the new era of Writer Than Right Trivia.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah, we haven't made it official yet that this is what we're going to continue to do, but I have a feeling we will, because all the games have been great, even the ones that you've lost. Right,
I think the last three have been within 1 point either way.
Yeah, you're still in contention for the playoffs. It seems
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah,
no, we haven't declared me dead. So
Georgia hasn't called in, so we'll see.
Correct. We haven't had Georgia call in yet. I don't feel like we're in Alabama territory either. Like there's still clearly a path, but like everybody's not feeling good. Like, we lost a game here.
Yeah, your story's been compared to Alabama.
Yes,
sure,
of course.
On Writer Than Right Trivia.
Great
prizes tomorrow. We will have 901 wrestling tickets, as we do every week.
So let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It's Wednesday, so we'll of course do buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. We got the season opener for the Memphis Grizzlies. You can hear the game tonight, pregame, 7:30, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Eric will have tip-off at 8 p.m. as the Grizzlies take on the Utah Jazz. Last I checked, the Grizzlies were favored by 3 on the road. So we'll, of course, start with the Grizzlies and a few other topics that are related to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Tigers don't want to travel out to Pac-12 country, but the Grizzlies
don't have a choice.
Yeah, they got to.
Yeah,
will tonight.
They will indeed tonight. Also, we'll get into the list during hour number two. Want to get the 901 Wrestling recap from the show last Sunday at Minglewood Hall. Also got some NFL news. I think the Titans might finally be doing the right thing. Want to discuss that. Also, I got a Frankie Muniz update. I don't know why I care about this, but I find myself kind of rooting for it. And so I wanted to discuss that
story. Let's do that right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, let's do that right then. We will do that. And then CJ Hurt will join the program as well. We'll talk Grizzlies with him. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's fire up some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, I don't normally write these prompts very well. I'm kind of proud of this one because I think it's nicely open-ended so that you can give a clear answer, but it leaves you a lot of directions.
All right.
Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Tonight begins the Grizzlies' most important season since 2015.
I buy it. One way you could go, you could debate whether or not...
Is 2015 the last time that it felt important to begin the season?
Yeah, I felt a lot of off-season talk was, I think that was when, right? But this is very important because we've got to... There was no Ja last year. This year, there's Jalloween on the schedule already for next week.
Absolutely.
Right? This is very important. A city that has been wanting to have, that franchise player, that star, that all-star, transcendent superstar on the team in Ja Morant, got it taken away from us last year. For several different reasons, right?
His fault, bad luck fault, everything in between.
Yeah, but not the fans' fault, right?
Correct.
And so it's important to really... Like, the Grizzlies have never had that moment yet where they prove, yes, we are one of those teams. Like, where are they ranked in this preseason stuff? We can go through these lists, and we talked about them. Like, the general manager's, having the Grizzlies, there's no really, nobody has really given the Grizzlies any credit, which is I'm excited about
in a lot
of ways. Because, I mean, that's when you break out in the NBA. Historically, we've seen at least
when the Grizzlies are at their best.
When the Grizzlies are at their best, historically, no matter who the coach is, it's when they are not projected to be great. And that's for a lot of NBA teams can pull that off now, especially this day and age. So, but the Grizzlies in particular, historically, they're not going to be great. Okay, well, let's prove you wrong. And it's easy to do it with this roster that they got. We know they can do it with the coach that they've got. They've done it before. They've done some stuff. But this year, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you look at tonight. How big a favorite are they tonight here against you?
Three, I believe.
Three.
So to your other question, so the Grizzlies right now have the sixth best win total in the West. Overall in the league, I think it puts them at, Celtics, Thunder, six. Knicks, yeah. T-Wolves are at 4, Nuggies 5, Bucks 6, 76ers 7, Mavs 8, Cavs 9, Suns 10, Magic 11, Grizzlies 12. But it's also important to note the difference between 7th and 12th is 2.5 games. And really, the difference between 5th and 12th is 3 full games.
Okay.
Because the Nuggets are at 50.5 and they're at 5th, and the Grizzlies are at 47.5 according to most books, and that puts them at 12. So that's kind of the other thing. It's like
that's the middle.
It is, but the other thing to remember is we have a lot mushier middle than we used to. Like the pecking order is not the difference between
the top is not as
It's possible, like, the Thunder win the West with, like, 60... Well, let's see, what is their win total? 57. Let's say the Thunder win the West at 60 wins. It's entirely possible the 2 seed could have 50 wins. And then the 6 seed could have, like, 47 wins. Like, the gap between, like, 2 and, honestly, probably a team that misses a playoff, it's possible a 40-plus win team misses the play-in. That's kind of... Right. That's the thing about the West is that you have this just logjam of basically 10 teams that certain circumstances could realistically make a case that they finish second in the West, or circumstances could allow them to finish out of the play-in. And it's really not that, like, the gap between those teams is not going to be that insane.
Which in the long run is great if you're the Grizzlies, that's how the NBA is now, right? Like, you've got a shot every year in a lot of ways, unless you're at the bottom of the bottom.
I'm not even saying this is a prisoner of last night, because I thought last night was the classic example of if Boston shoots like that, you're not beating them. And I think if most teams shoot like that, you're not beating them. But I'm still not convinced. I think the West, top to bottom, has more quality teams. I'm still not as convinced, though, that the West has a team that can beat the Celtics, if all things are the same.
Which, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're jumping ahead. Like, for Grizzlies fans, making the finals is would be
fun. No, I mean, the Grizzlies, it's
great anyway, you know?
Hey, it's like, it feels like the standard this year, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. It feels like the standard is avoid the play-in and then win a playoff series. Anything beyond that is going to be considered.
That's fair, but good. I feel like it's one of those seasons where I think expectations are different depending on possibly who you talk to. Like, if you're a Grizzlies season ticket holder who got burnt out, or because a lot of people, like, by the end of the last season, were not paying attention. And you look at these projections, and the Grizzlies are not projected to be awesome. So I think, but if you're a Grizzlies season ticket holder who know why last year went wrong, and it's a variety of different reasons, but like, you going into last year, there was a high level of anticipation and expectation. And I do think some Grizzlies fans still have that. I feel like there's that. You're talking about the realistic expectation that you should have, and that's fair because I think they can exceed those. But I feel like there's some Grizzlies fans, because you have Ja Morant, there's going to be people who are going to be like, well, why are you not making the Western Conference Finals? I feel like those people are out there.
So I'm buying this. And I'm buying it for a little bit different reason. I agree with everything that you said. But to me, I've just always had it circled as this is the only 2 years that you're guaranteed to have Ja, Dez, and Jaren under contract. Do I still think it's likely that the Grizzlies wind up re-signing Jaren? Yes, I do. But that's not guaranteed. It is guaranteed right now.
Yeah, not just that. I'm like, but in the NBA, right, the contracts play such an important role because you only got five guys out there. And not only do you have them under contract, but like their contracts are smaller, and they're as the players get older, they obviously they get not as great at playing basketball.
Correct.
As they get
there
older.
Is wear and tear.
Right, there's wear and tear, and you have to pay them more. So, like, you have certain times that you really need to try to capitalize on the peak performance of the players for what is a bargain price for NBA standards. And the Grizzlies are currently in that with I hate to use the word core, but with their core group of players.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the...
Especially factor in Zach Edey here, right?
Right. So
you've got a top 10 pick coming into play with these guys.
I guess the way I look at it is these guys are only going to be in their quote-unquote prime for so long. And you're only going to have them at the same time at a very specific point in time. I think the most fun time as a sports fan is when you watch your team that's young and it doesn't really have expectations and everything feels like anything good feels like it's gravy. But there does come a point where, all right, here you go. Like, this is your window. This is your opportunity. And to me, this is kind of when you have to strike, because even though, like, if you look at the landscape of the West, with Oklahoma City being a clear favorite, they still haven't done it yet. It's not like they're a behemoth that you're not trying to get through the Warriors, you know, with Steph and Durant. You're not trying to get through one of the absolute unbelievable super teams. It's a young core that's added some nice pieces because they've had financial flexibility for having young players that have been good early.
Right.
But that's still not like, you know, all they did last year was they were the one seed, they win their first playoff series, and they get bounced in the second round. Well, the difference between the Grizzlies, their first year that they make the playoffs again, they finish as the two seed and then win a playoff series and get bounced in the second round, and you lose to the eventual Western Conference champion. I kind of think it's like the same thing with the Timberwolves. Even though there will be people that will slot the Timberwolves ahead of them, the Timberwolves are going to have questions going into the season. How is Gobert and Randall going to work? Are they going to stay as healthy as they did for the most part last year? Like, is Edwards going to take another step? And this is kind of the period of time where it's like, I don't know that Wembanyama is going to be a star, but I'm leaving room that he could be some type of, you know, transformational type player where you're going to have to deal with him for a decade plus of him dominating the league. That doesn't feel like we're there yet. And so this to me feels like this is a very specific point in time in which not only are you good enough to compete, but I think you have the opportunity, because there's been other years where I think their roster might have been good enough in a different year to compete, but based on having the Warriors in 2015, like it makes it a different equation.
Yeah, because it's the NBA, the current like landscape of the NBA, it is the best it could possibly be for any team, right? Because you just feel like, I mean, the parity that you've got and the opportunity you know you have. And luckily, right now, the Grizzlies are not in the East. After so many years saying, I wish we were in the East, you know, they don't have to play the Celtics. But I like looking and going last year. When was the Steven Adams news? When did that drop?
So it was Sunday of game week. So if
we were looking at.
Correct. Because it's so sad that, like, it is on the list of life events where I can pinpoint exactly where I was that moment. Like, normally that's usually something either very traumatic or highly emotional, but I was at the Whataburger, the Whataburger at Wolf Chase.
Well, there you
line,
go. So you were having,
and I get the Woj notification. And I was just like, you could feel your stomach sink. It was like I had the flashing blue lights of a cop car behind me. It's like, really?
Did you enjoy your meal?
It just didn't go down the same. Yeah, I mean, it's Whataburger, so it was always good. But I'll say this. The Whataburger experience was not memorable from the Whataburger. Right. It was memorable from what happened at Whataburger.
And, of course, the last time the Grizzlies were really successful, Dylan Brooks was on the team. You know, it's hard to think back, right? Because, like, I mean, last year he was gone. And before we had Dylan Brooks involved. But this year you got Zach Edey. And he could be Rookie of the Year, right? If he's Rookie of the Year, this could change any type of, like, if that means he's awesome.
If he's Rookie of the Year,
that's going to,
I think it's likely that the Grizzlies are a top four seed. I don't think that's the most important. Like, if you tell me, if you ask me, like, what do I think is the most important metric, statistic, whatever, that's going to determine the Grizzlies' success, I still am very clear. I want to know how many games Ja plays, because I think if the more games Ja plays, the better I think that the Grizzlies will do.
For sure. I
hope everybody's sitting down for that. I'm not breaking news there. I think anyone who watches the Grizzlies knows that.
That's last season. We saw what happens when
I think then the second one would be how many games do Ja, Darren, and Jaren and Dez all play together?
Look, they're healthy. The health of the team. Yeah.
I think the third thing, though, for me is what kind of year does Zach Edey have? Because if he has a Rookie of the Year type year, that is just adding another element that you have to defend, and that's going to only make it easier for everyone else.
And if he's going to be great in the NBA, which we don't know yet for sure, but there's no better place for him to line up with this roster at this time.
So, especially considering you have an elite passing point guard that can get you the ball in very easy spots. You have a defensive presence in Jaren Jackson Jr. that you complement really well. His weaknesses on the defensive end, primarily rebounding, are your strengths, and your weaknesses, which is probably playing away from the basket, is what he's phenomenal at. And so, like, you have a very good situation to walk into year one. And it's not like he's 19 years old. He's played 4 years of college basketball. He's played at a high level, like
championship level.
Correct.
So that's just the added bonus. Like, it really was. We went into the last year, you know, the stories of, like, no, you know, Dylan Brooks was finally gone. You had Steven Adams.
Yes.
Upset news of the week. Oh, God, it was so devastating, right?
Well, because I think we also grossly underestimated what a 25-game suspension looked like for Ja Morant. Because I think we did the math of, we kind of did the, I don't know how you'd phrase this, but I'm just kind of thinking in my head, it's like unintentionally hypocritical, where we spent the whole time, anytime Ja, like, it was used against Ja, number of games they won without him, and we kind of would use it as, like, a point of pride, like, hey, that shows how good the rest of the team is.
Right.
We kind of, like, then went back into last year, and it's like, well, we don't have Ja. And when they were started, whatever, 4-21 or whatever it was, like, there was kind of the, we started to use the same, like, ammo we would use against people, we had to use, like, defensively again. Right. So
Exactly. And that, so just on the idea of the optimism and how long can it last, that's very important, of course, in sports, is, like, last year we just did not have, like, yeah, we were tricking ourselves into believing the 25-game suspension wouldn't be that bad. We were, like, tricking ourselves, like, because Ja is so great, and he is a superstar in the NBA, right? A megastar that, like, and maybe you can relate to this, but I guess it felt like we were, like, booking him like the wrestler who is up against, has all the odds against him, but you know he's still going to win, right? You know there's still going to be a way.
There's kind of a Daniel Bryan at 30, at WrestleMania 30 feel.
Ja's going to come back and he's just going to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's kind of what, 25 games, all right, we'll wait for those, but when he comes back.
I think it's fair to say this. That is the least amount of fun an entire season could be in the Ja Morant era. And
it was last year. Hopefully.
Correct.
Yeah.
I also think about it in these terms. The amount of time it took for you to realize there was, like, even without Ja, so I'm talking that first 25 games.
Right.
It only took, like, 7 or 8 games to realize, like, oh, this is a problem. And then you got the brief burst. It felt like the only happiness, like, true happiness, not happiness you had to talk yourself into. The only true happiness was, like, Ja coming back in the Pelicans game and that, like, 8 games where you felt like you were watching a brand new team again.
I just had to get to Christmas.
Correct.
Or the Christmas season.
Correct. But then people will talk themselves into the GG stuff that was fun. And it's fun, but you also had to act like, all right, I'm looking for, it was the type of year where you were looking for anything to cling on to, and that was fun. But when you really took a step back and you realized, like, we are celebrating a 19-year-old rookie putting up a big game against a team that didn't care.
Right, which is part of the, you know, the
thrill. That's part of the experience of being a fan.
Yeah, if you're a basketball fan, you like that, but, you know, it's you don't want to be in the NBA with that type of...
No, exactly.
Like, you want to be excited for that guy when he's coming off the bench at the end of the game doing something, you know?
Or the game where your starter's got back soreness, and he replaces him.
He happens to be in the game.
Yeah, and he's the starter that night, and he goes off. That's the circumstances that you want, where it's like, see, man, look at the depth of this team. Like, this team's going to be a problem.
And a big difference from last year, because when you're starting, when you got that 25-game suspension, right? And you were watching it, and you said it took seven games for you to, at least seven, you knew for sure, like, oh, this is not going to work. But, like, if you watch tonight's game, if you watch the next seven games here, and it's not working, at least you kind of feel like there is a way to fix it.
Yes,
and
because you have Ja.
You could not fix it during those 25 games last year, and then you couldn't fix it on the back half either.
And on top of you couldn't fix it in those 25 games, you dug yourself such the hole that you could... There were people that tried to
fix the season.
There were people that tried to talk themselves into it numbers-wise, but I was screaming from the rooftops, the math is not there. Like, they were basically going to have to be what the equivalent of about a 70-win team was going to be in order to make the playoffs in what they were. So I think the bigger question is 2015 the last fair season to compare this to? Because I think back to... The team has talked about, like, when we've had the Mark documentary, the Zebo documentary, the 2015 year was the year that they felt like at camp, like, we've got a shot. Now, lo and behold, we didn't realize we were at the beginning of the Warriors era, but they did go to Oracle and win a game, and there was also, you know, you got the Conley getting his face busted and TA with a hamstring, so there's things that didn't go your way, but that's kind of what happens in the playoffs. It's like, all right, it's kind of a survival of who can stay the most healthy. And so I just think back to the 15-16 year.
Is that
the year everyone got hurt?
I mean, the Grizzlies lost in the first round to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, that's the year I think everybody got hurt.
A sweep.
That's Jaeger the year everybody fired. Hurt. Yeah, Jaeger, that was the crying at the podium.
Yes.
So that was that year's, throw that out the window. And then 17 kind of felt like the nostalgia tour. Like, we all kind of knew it was coming to an end. And then you had Fizdale coming in talking about championships when he's never won one. Like, that guy's the most overrated human being we've had in the city's history ever. I will stand by that take. I said it in real time, too.
But Fizz with the Grizz.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's talking about things I care about. Awesome.
What was his famous quote? What did he say? Anyway. Well, this was the era, but all the coaches had like their catchphrases, and then they were gone. But anyway,
what was it? Championship habits, or like
there was something.
He was here to bring a championship mentality, or something like that. He's just a con artist. Like, he's nothing more than like a walking quote, like, you know, like a quote book. I mean, he's had other jobs. He's proven to not be a very good coach, but like, he sounds good.
Yes.
And then who did we go directly to? Jenkins after that? No, we went JB.
Yeah, JB.
JB was the guy that had to pay the credit card bill. We built up a bunch of debt, and JB was the guy that was going to have to pay that one. And then we go to Taylor and John and whatnot. But yeah, I think 2015. All right, let's do one more topic,
and
then let's take a quick break. But let's do this one. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Downtown is about to die.
I read about this in the paper from our friends...
The online digital paper.
Yes.
This, of course, the quote originally from Richard Smith in Jeff's column this morning. In fairness, he says, I don't want to say downtown is about to die, but...
Downtown's about to die. That's what he said.
Correct. Or did Jeff fill it in? I think Jeff might have filled it in.
I mean, either way, downtown is going to die.
Okay, I have a legitimate question. You and I are born and raised here.
Yes.
Have we, compared to other cities, I do not feel like we've ever had the vibrant downtown. Like, we've had moments where downtown's been better, downtown's been worse, But I don't ever feel like it's ever been a thing to say, like, we're going downtown as a, like, legitimate entertainment, like, opportunity. Like, I think
downtown... They can go with something. It's a great...
Correct. But, like, it's not a... It's not, like, a habit place. Or it's not, like, a... It's
you
never
just
been,
go without a particular reason.
Correct.
Right.
And so like I think about it and it's better now, but like downtown LA when I first got to college was not a thing. Like you had Staples Center down there, but like that was the Family Guy joke from Blue Harvest. Like, there's nothing to do downtown. They were making fun of downtown LA. Like that was what it was. Like you had Staples, you had a few area of like entertainment and whatnot, but it was not like you went to Hollywood, you went to Santa Monica, you went to Venice, like you went to other places, not downtown. I think Memphis is closer to that than it is to like Nashville.
Probably. I mean, I still think downtown. So is a great place. I don't think it's dying. So I'm selling that. I'm selling that idea. But we have many events downtown. Tonight, you can go play trivia on South Main at the Ghost River Tap Room. We're there on Friday nights on the South Main at the South Main Tap Room as well, playing music bingo. We've got Huey's. We were at Huey's last night. Anthony Sain was out there for music bingo. Huey's, we had a UFC guy there. Or I can't think of his name. He was playing. But we have quite a few events downtown. People will come downtown to do something, right? They will still come downtown to do something. It's the question is, what's the thing, right? Is it to come play trivia or bingo or go to the Orpheum or go to a Grizzlies game? But there's a small list of things.
And it's never been like if you go to Nashville for the weekend, you can say, like, we're going downtown. You don't really have an agenda.
Or you're just going to go.
You're going to go
around and figure where the night takes you.
You'll figure it out. Like, even in when I got back from college and you're kind of in the peak going out, we would go downtown some, but like it was much more similar to me to what was the youth scene in LA, which is like, and we go to a different like area and hang out. Like it's, so this is kind of where I've always struggled with, which is, when is the last time that like downtown was a true destination spot? Because even if you think about it,
we're probably going back to the black and white photos of our grandparents shopping at Goldsmiths.
So I'm thinking it's got to be, I mean, I don't know what the 80s were like, but maybe...
Before then.
I definitely know it wasn't the 90s, because the joke was always, the only reason you were downtown was either going to the Rendezvous or you were lost. As you had pointed out, when they built the pyramid, they built it a little bit north, and they were trying to build another like entertainment center. An area, a destination.
Somewhat maybe ahead of their time in that idea of...
Yes, that was not... It was poorly executed from a leadership perspective.
It did not work.
Yes.
At all.
But the concept was not bad.
Right, and the trolley went right by there. I mean, you probably have to, if you look at the history of the city, I mean, there's reasons, right? There's reasons, and a lot of it traces back to Dr. King. And
sure,
what went down there at the Lorraine Motel, now the Civil Rights Museum. And that changed a lot of, you know, the path of the city's downtown. But there was a time, and I see you say it's the grandparents, and my grandparents are no longer with us. But, I mean, their stories of, you know, when you went shopping downtown.
Right.
Like, that was really, but that's not how it is everywhere else anymore. So I'm like, talking about, like, it could still work. But like there was a bygone era where, you know, everything was downtown, and you know, they attempted that with Peabody Place, actually, to have a mall there right as the death of malls happened.
The flight of simulator at Jillian's. Oh my God, flying a 747, listening to a little Three Doors Down. Oh yeah, there's nothing.
Didn't
we have the IMAX there? I mean, we've always had the one at the Pink Palace.
I was trying to remember if it was called an IMAX or if it was called something else.
I think it was IMAX, because I remember the billboard to the left with the warehouse in left field at AutoZone. Like it had Peabody Place, home of the IMAX or something like that.
I just know they had like way too many screens.
22. Like... I believe it was a 22 screen. And like that was when the standard theater in Memphis had like 8.
Right. It was tons of screens. I loved going to the movies there. Maybe we can chart this out. I don't know what Richard Smith is talking about.
So
what is it everybody always goes back to, you know, the safety stuff. I feel like Beale Street is as occupied as it has been in our lifetime, pretty much, with different. Sure, some Jerry Lee Lewis is closing. It's going to be something else. You know, there's some things that keep closing and stuff, but it seems to be pretty well occupied.
I also look at it in these terms. Oftentimes, when something closes, something else will open up in its stead. I feel like that rate is happening more frequently. Okay, I can't...
Because we didn't have a movie. After, like, MovieCo came in and tried to solve a problem... in a way, you know, obviously make money is what they came to do.
Yes.
But like they put a movie theater downtown where they're like, what downtown doesn't have a movie? You have to have a movie theater downtown. That's got to be the option. If you're going to go downtown, like I can stumble into the movie theater if I want to. And Malco has come along and put an awesome theater. I love the Powerhouse down there. So we still that boy. Like what else can you have down there? What do we need? What's missing? There's restaurants.
One of the obvious things that they are concerned about, and I think this is a legitimate concern, is the safety question.
The safety question. I mean, people are definitely concerned about
correct. It. Correct.
You know, how do you fix that, though?
I also, though, believe, particularly in downtown, the problem with downtown to me is because it's never been a quote-unquote destination, you don't have to work very hard to talk yourself out of going downtown.
Right.
And because so, people do, like, you can look for any excuse. You can use the crime excuse. You know, I don't want to look for parking. I don't want to, like, you can very easily come up with an excuse, and you don't feel like you're missing out. And so that's a huge part of it. So
because there are great restaurants all over the city, right? And, no, I mean, you have a great point.
I think also another part of downtown.
But I don't think that impacts the Grizzlies, and I know that's a lot of the story. You can't go to the Grizzlies in Carville. You have to go downtown to go see the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and I know it's always fun. Why don't they put it out east? I will go to the grave on this one. This is not urban elitism. Yes, there is money out there, but let's not make the mistake of thinking this would be like putting the Braves in Cobb County, where there are still millions of people. Like, the further east you go, it becomes a lot of hassle for a lot of people to get there. And yes, there is more money per capita there, but like it's just, I don't ever think that's going to work like many people think it has. In fact, if you start to look at now, with the exception of the gigantic football stadiums, when cities are like, we don't have the land to put this where you want, almost everybody's trying to go back to, we got to get back into a city. Like our arena's got to get, the Palace.
FedEx Forum is, without doubt, it should be downtown.
The location of the Forum, so what I think because they've been very vague and like, well, we have plans. I'm having to read between the lines, but this is my interpretation. It clicked for me when I went to the wedding in Denver at
Pepsi Center.
No. Pepsi Center is kind of in a different spot.
If Pepsi Center ever switches to Coke, that's going to be a huge scandal.
Oh, it's Ball Arena now.
Oh, do they have Pepsi?
Now, I don't know if they have Coke there still, or I don't know if they have Pepsi there still, but it's now Ball Arena.
We got to find out, yeah.
But the owners of the Rockies, low-key worst owners in sports. They don't get enough blame.
They went with the purple colors, which is not, you know.
Right, but they fielded
They're
like...
very brave.
They fielded like two winning teams, and they don't even try to be competitive. But what they are brilliant at is they're real estate people, and they're commercial real estate people. So if you go to the area around Coors Field, Coors Field's at the southern part of downtown Denver. They have bought up all of the old warehouses, like hotel space, everything within what feels like at least a half mile radius of the stadium. And they have redeveloped it, repurposed it. Like it's a lot of, even if you go into a building that's maybe 100 plus years old, you walk in and it still feels brand new because they've gutted the thing. Like they've kept the exterior, they've kept some like elements of it, but they've completely redone it. And it feels nice. Every place you walk to was like super clean. You never like you felt safe, all this. I think that's what they're going for.
And I see, like, I mean, Richard Smith, shout out to like FedEx. I was thrilled when I saw FedEx was moving into the Gibson
Guitar Factory.
Yeah, I was not thrilled when I found out they were closing, but yes. The fact that FedEx was going in there, because that is another problem with downtown Memphis. We're we're blessed in this town to have some great Fortune 500 companies, some, you know, in FedEx and AutoZone. And now we've got, you know, International Paper seems to be going through some troubles here. But, you know, we've got these companies that are putting the money in, but only AutoZone is downtown, right? Most the part of FedEx is downtown.
Yeah.
But even, First Horizon's down there, but they may be sold next week. And who knows? But there should be, the business downtown is a little hurting right now. But
is the ghost of Morgan Keegan, whatever, Raymond James, is that still downtown?
I mean, there's that. I think they probably have offices there, I would guess, in that building, or do they? They may have.
My brother called that building something. I was like, I've lived here my whole life. I've never heard. It's like the staircase building. I was like, you mean the Morgan Keegan building?
The Morgan Keegan building. Yeah.
The staircase? Is that what they call it? I was like, I've never heard that. He was like using the term like it was like a blanket term that we all knew. It's like,
The Batman building in Nashville.
Yeah, I was
saying,
like, literally, I was thinking of, it's for the seven people that have been to Winston-Salem, the penis building. They're downtown, they have a building that looks, it's like an old Wells Fargo building. It looks just like a penis.
In Winston-Salem?
Yes, but Batman building, whatever, the AT&T Bell South.
The thing, but your point, if this is what they're talking about, this is fascinating. FedEx Forum opened, what, in like 2005?
05, yeah.
And so we're talking 20 years, right? And the development never really went. There's like two sides of that building where there's nothing going on still development wise. It feels like if you start walking.
Yeah. So if you walk towards, if you're on.
If you start walking away on Beale Street, away from the main stuff, there's nothing going on that way.
Yeah. If you walk, I guess what would that be? If you're walking south on MLK, or would that be walking west?
Oh yeah, we're getting off. You're on MLK. You're
does
going
MLK go east west north south?
Yeah, you go to the east west. I think for MLK.
So if you'd be walking west, if you leave the plaza and hang a left from the forum,
right?
The more left you walk, the less there is.
Right, but if you go, you have to go a little bit. If you go like
you can go
a little bit towards the river more, yeah. You can see stuff. But there is like some gaps over there.
Yes,
you would think the entire building would be surrounded by stuff.
Correct. And it feels like we just have either vacant lots or like dilapidated buildings. Now, the other thing though that I would point out is,
and that would that alleviate some of the safety concerns if you can park closer, walk closer to the actual place that you feel safer at, which is FedEx Forum. Then that would make sense.
Yeah, I think if we're doing a pie chart, I think safety is going to take a big slice. But I don't think it takes as big of a slice as everyone wants to promote. Like, when I think about why I don't go downtown,
is it the hassle of it?
I think it's partly there's not like a concentrated area.
You don't know exactly where to go.
Correct. So it's like,
all you're right, going to Overton Square, you know where to, the Overton Square is right there. That's where Overton Square is.
If you're going to Midtown,
I'm going to Cooper Young or I'm going to Overton Square.
If you're going to the university, if you're going to Highland Strip, it's like, do I want to go to South Main?
Going to Carville, you're going
you at least have
square. You could go to the square, but
I don't think down for a city that at least
Beale Street is the place, but for locals, it's not unless it's before or after something at FedEx Forum for the most part.
Yeah,
and like I mean that's just true. Like Ghost River, where we've got trivia tonight, you know, is on South Main, is where we host the events. We do our events on South Main because that's where the locals go.
Right.
The Beale Street one is a totally different vibe, totally different clientele than comes to the location on South Main.
And this is not even me crapping on Beale Street. I'm trying to, like, my deal is, okay, if we reimagine Beale Street and we make it bright, shiny, new, does that change everyone's habits? Maybe.
I mean, I know what you, yeah.
But this is the other flip side of this argument. When you look at, I always pay attention to when you see either construction, renovation, whatnot, I always pay attention to the signs. Only Memphis people develop Memphis. And that's what makes it really hard. We don't have firms coming in from New York, from San Francisco. We don't have these multinational companies that come in and developing Memphis. And there's only so many resources. You know what I mean? Like that, we can't ask the Carlisles to develop everything. Like, there's not that much money to go around. And so,
yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, I know this also. I'm sure they also pay attention to, because the arena, the bowl of the arena looks like the artist formerly known as Conseco Fieldhouse, Banker's Life or whatever it is now. I can't remember. That one's
looks like, it's a duplicate, right?
Yeah. The interior is. Yeah. But that was always, that was another like swing and a miss. The thing that everybody liked about Conseco was not the bowl. It was the exterior of it. Like the windows and the plaza and the concourses. But no, we copied the bowl. Awesome. Sweet. But my wife was there on business about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months now.
I love it when we get to get her insight on things.
And she stayed downtown near the arena. And she was saying, I get what they're talking about. She's like, you walk down here and the area around Banker's Life is new development, shops, bars, restaurants, all that. Very similar to what I was talking about with Denver, which is everything feels new and it's like a place to go. The problem is, it's like, I understand why the real estate people are upset, but I always just keep saying this, like, who's paying for all of this?
I mean, and it goes like, we talk about going back to the pyramid being at the Pinch, and the idea was the Pinch District would become a thing because of that, you know, and there was like a TJ Mulligan's and that was about it. And until the pyramid closed, and now you've got like FedEx Forum, they put it in the right spot. It's right next to Beale Street, but you don't want, if you're, again, Beale Street's not for the locals, right? So they never really established anything new outside of that Weston building right across the street in the Gibson Guitar Factory. That's all that's really been built right next to it. And that is wild to think about after 20 years. So what's the, if you're local and you're going to go downtown before a Grizzlies game or an event at FedEx Forum, you're probably looking to try to eat somewhere that's not on Beale Street. No offense to the places on Beale Street. You might go to Beale afterwards if the line for security is not too long.
I mean, to your point, it's not a hashtag free ad, but it's like, of the new spaces there, Aaliyah and I will go to the Ghost River Tap Room that's kind of next to like
rest. And that's what's, because that's something that is that locals want to go to tap rooms, right?
Right.
They want to go.
After a big win, not so much anymore, but like sometimes, you know, you'll still hit Silky's up to go see everybody. We've done Tin Roof a little bit, but like normally, like that's the other problem. I'm probably not the right person to ask. Like now after they win a game, it's like, all right, you ready to go home?
Right, but well, because we often say like locals don't go to Beale Street, and that's not true. At some point in time in your life and in my life,
there's a very specific point in time that doesn't last very long. But yes, there is a
go because you're fascinated by it. You're
like 22 to 25.
You're intrigued with what's going on, but that's a very small span, as you said. Like you age out of it.
It's a flame that burns very brightly and quickly.
And you might walk. I enjoy walking down it on the way to FedEx Forum. And like I said, going on Ghost River. I'll eat the
before wrestling shows. We still go to Lawler's.
Yeah, you got to go to Lawler's before and after.
Yes,
yeah. Shout out to the King.
Yes, but to your point, like that is a specific. It's not like we all just get on the phone like let's go to Lawler's. It's before a wrestling show that we all decide we want to go to.
Most that's what Beale Street is. So if we establish that, I think most people realize that, understand that, and would tell you that, right? Like the Beale Street, like it is a tied into FedEx Forum or the Orpheum visit. And so then there's FedEx Forum. But then everything else you have to walk or a considerable amount of time to get to that's not Beale Street if you're going to something at FedEx Forum. And that might be considerable, but you got to walk a few blocks to get to South Main and then a few more blocks to get to something on South Main.
Well, I think that's the other problem.
And then it's like you're walking past vacant parking blocks.
We're not conditioned as Memphians to walk.
But nobody wants to walk at night around
for
vacant
sure.
parking lots, whether it's safe or not.
Yes,
something
totally
just
agree.
Feel unsafe.
No,
whether or not
it's a lot easier
right.
to walk around. Like I mean, in Denver,
if there's stuff in
we
front
walked,
of you.
We walked. There was like one venue that was like a mile and a half from our hotel, and we walked because the entire path was developed.
Right, you got stuff to walk by.
Correct.
And we have that downtown, like South Main is like that, right? Like, should we have built FedEx Forum closer to South Main? I don't know. It's too late now. It's built.
Yeah.
Let's try to get something else.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit of Tiger football because we haven't really done that very much this week. But let's do that, and then, of course, we'll get into the list. during hour number two. CJ Hertz also going to join us as well. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All this talk of downtown, there's definitely one spot downtown that you need to go to, and that is Birdie's. And October's also a great time to go because October is Golftoberfest at Birdie's. That means you book online, enjoy half off your standard golf rates all month long. Also, now's the perfect time to book your holiday party or event at Birdie's. And because dates are filling up, if you reserve during October, you're guaranteed the Golftoberfest rates, even if the party happens in November or December. Also, make sure you're following Birdie's on Instagram at Birdie's901 for all the latest news and specials for Memphis's favorite spot for indoor golf. Don't forget about the membership options. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators. Standard rates are about $45 per hour, so that's a great deal. You also get discounts on merch, food, much, much more. All the details are at golfatbirdies.com. They'll be open on Saturdays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Don't forget about karaoke on Saturday nights, 7 p.m. until close. All right, Kev, we've not talked much about it, but I'm not going to take like the world's biggest victory lap, but maybe I'll take a victory jog. I do think I nailed when we were trying to figure out what games do we actually want to go to. Like when we were trying to sell games for the Tiger home schedule, I did bring up North Texas that I thought it could be a fun game.
And it was.
It was a fun game. And
52-44 was that final score.
See if you agree with this. I weirdly felt better after that win than I did the two previous wins. And primarily, I felt better about it because, all right, I've seen them go up against an incompetent offense and shut it down and do enough on offense and win.
But we hadn't really seen
the only other time they'd kind of gotten tested with the, hey, can you score? Was the Navy game.
And they couldn't score enough.
They could not score enough. And again,
44. They had 44, which is the exact amount of points that North Texas had.
Correct. And they also had the ball with a chance to take the lead and maybe beat Navy.
They could have done it.
The final score looks bad because of the pick six. But they had the ball inside Navy territory. They also had an onside kick.
It was close.
They had breaks go their way. But what I was impressed by on
Because you're not impressed. The week before they beat,
So you have the MTSU and the USF.
A team recovering from a hurricane, one of the worst hurricanes in American history.
Without their starting quarterback.
Right.
And they looked incompetent on offense, and you shut them down. But on Saturday, you go up against a high-power offense, and they came out of the gate swinging. And yes, North Texas' defense is oftentimes the antidote to your clunky offense. But what I was impressed with was for much of the second half, even when they had that spurt, I think, of five straight drives where they didn't even get a first down, I still felt like they controlled the game. It was a different type of game. It was a shootout. They won it. And I just came away feeling like, okay, they can win a different style of game than what we've basically seen them win. Because the style that we'd seen them win was basically how they'd kind of won every game, with the exception of just overwhelming two inferior opponents to start the season.
Yeah, and this weekend they're playing Charlotte. Back home again, and it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. I ask you this, Jeffrey. Is the 11 a.m. I know most people do not like the 11 a.m. kickoff time, but it's obviously often talked about being a great thing for Tiger fans because you can then
watch the rest of the day.
Watch the rest of the day. But is this the best weekend to have the 11 a.m. since it is Halloween weekend? You want to get it over with early in the day for in case you're doing
I guess I was wondering about this because now this is starting to become an issue for me. Is Saturday going to be the trick-or-treat night?
No, it's Halloween night.
So Saturday will be the party night.
Still a party night for the...
So I guess it's good for the kids.
Cool.
But students, whatever.
The students, yeah. Great for the students. Yeah, the kids. Yeah.
It's good for young people.
They have time to go downtown to go to Tin Roof.
In my experience, it didn't really matter whether or not Halloween fell on a particular weekend. We dug deep and we found a way to party.
Right, you still on Halloween.
So
there's going to be a lot of Halloween, but there's also a lot of Halloween kid events happening during the day during that weekend leading up. I don't know.
I think that's a fair point.
If you're a student, you want it at 11 a.m. on Halloween weekend. Why not?
If you're going to have a weekend to have the 11 a.m., this isn't a bad one. All right, I was going to check and see. All right, what's our all right, we got in the afternoons, we got Missouri at Bama, Oregon.
Well, that's
Illinois.
An interesting game there. All right. I'm very rarely interested in a Missouri game, but
I mean, low key, y'all, who isn't fired up for Texas Vandy? It's sad that that's true. I'm more excited about Texas Vanderbilt than I am Florida State Miami. Can Diego slay another dragon? I think that's a big one. Then you got A&M LSU at night.
I mean, because you know Florida State's going to lose. I mean,
yeah. More on that. More on that in just a second.
All right.
Mike has been talking. Although I think Mike's approach is better than maybe someone else's approach. I don't know. Let's say Auburn.
For the record, we're talking about Tiger football here today on the opening day for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Correct.
In their NBA season. I always consider this time of year, Jeffrey, this week in particular, that one week a year where spooky season collides with the NBA season, right? I love this time of year, the spooky season and NBA season.
This is an unbelievable point of time.
For sports, this is it.
If you just like sports, even if you aren't someone that likes all sports, something for you right now. You've got the World Series. You've got football in full swing. You've got hockey going, and now the NBA going.
Yeah, all the sports going on. But if you're a sports fan and a spooky fan, this is peak time, for sure. But it's those things are overshadowing a little bit, right? It's overshadowing Tiger football season. Are they keeping our interest?
Okay,
here?
So this is an interesting question. Because I think the answer's no, but I also wonder this. Was it a realistic option?
If they were undefeated, I guess, is the only option.
So if they beat Navy, how much differently is this season?
I mean, we could have started the show saying, who's going to lose first, the Grizzlies or the Tigers?
But I guess that's my question.
You know, I don't
know. We have? Because I... I want to be very clear. This is not an attack of the football program. I think
we're not at all attacking. We want to see the success.
I think what we've clearly defined this year.